Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my buddy John Couch, engineering and producing the show. We made it to Friday. One of these weeks, my goodness, 1 week feels like a month. I mean, yeah, April's gone, thank goodness, in the rearview mirror. Anyway, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio for this first day of May. Friday. Always like the month of May. It's my wedding anniversary coming up on Cinco de Mayo. Yes, that'll be Tuesday. Something to look forward to. We are live during the week here, of course, Monday through Friday. Buckmaster Radio established in 2011. So we're in our 10th year on 1030 Tucson's Voice. We're trusted local news talk. We have our worldwide live listening and our podcast at buckmastershow.com. Friday, the media shout-out day to Dylan Smith and TucsonSentinel.com. Thanks, Dylan. Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. We'll hear from Dan Shear in a moment. Thank you, Dan. The Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications support us, including Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. The Friday Focus interview today, Farhad Mogimi is with us, the executive director of the Pima Association of Governments and the Regional Transportation Authority, known as the RTA. Prior to joining PAG and RTA, Farhad was the assistant town manager for the town of Saharita. On the live line, Mr. Mogimi, how are you, Farhad?
I'm doing well. Hi, Bill. How you doing?
Doing real well. Hanging in there. Let's welcome in now a gentleman you know very well, Dan Shear. Also, we're doing this telephonically. We've been doing this for 6 weeks this week. Hopefully, maybe June 1st, we can kind of bring folks back into the studio, Dan Shear, because as you know, since you have hosted this program, it is hard to do it all telephonically, Dan.
It is almost impossible. You realize how much rely on facial expressions and when you tell me to cut it off and you're doing the neck thing and so I miss being in there. I really do.
Well, Dan Shear, the editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Dan also serves as the editorial director for 24 WIC newspaper. For the WIC newspaper organization, which is based in Sierra Vista, but he has not been traveling around to the different papers because of the COVID-19. Farhad, there's always a COVID-19, as I have learned every day on this program. There's always a COVID-19 connection. Let's get that right out of the way. How has it impacted RTA, please?
Yes, I'll be happy to touch on that, but if I may, before I do that, with my other hat on as one of the directors on Northwest Medical Center's hospital, I'd like to send out a shout out to all the healthcare workers and obviously all the essential workers out there, grocery stores and first responders, including the media. You guys have been doing an excellent job of going to work every day and doing what you do, and we all appreciate that and thank you for doing that. So along those lines, obviously we have our shuttle drivers and we have our dial-a-ride drivers that have continued to provide service. The volume of the calls have gone down, but at the same time we recognize that providing those rides is definitely essential. A lot of people still rely on those rides to go to healthcare facilities as well as groceries and even some of the essential workers to get to their jobs. So we've kept that schedule going. We've kept making sure that our drivers are being safe and they're doing everything they can to obviously protect themselves as well as the passengers. So that's all going well. And we hope that, as the volume of the riders come back, that they would still continue to observe some of those precautions and the social distancing as well, because that's really going to be the critical for us to be able to make sure that our drivers are being safe.
Yeah, I'll tell you, a big shout out. I agree with you to all of the drivers, the newfound appreciation for these people who are doing their job. They're going to work, they're doing essential services, and my hat is off to each and every one of them, Farhad. How about we're coming up on a big anniversary, May 16th. It was back on that date in 2006 that the voters in the Tucson area approved a 20-year plan for the Regional Transportation Authority. As we come up on this anniversary, as we now work through about three-quarters of the plan, have the taxpayers gotten their money's worth?
Yes, and hopefully they are the judge of that, and we believe that we've been able to deliver on our promise. To date, we have completed over 860 projects, and that's roughly about $1.2 billion of RTA sales tax revenue that the voters approved. And with the balance of 5 years left in the program, we hope that we'll continue to make sure that we deliver those projects as promised, obviously, as our budgets are getting impacted by this crisis. Not only it was impacted back in 2008 because of the recession, and now we're getting hit again a second time. The sales tax revenue, as you can imagine, starting in March, we started seeing a huge decline in that revenue, and potentially May, you know, might be, you know, when we start coming back, but I don't think we're going to come back to pre-COVID levels for some time, but we'll continue to manage our budget and continue to deliver those projects as promised.
All right, let's bring Dan Scheer in. Go ahead, Dan.
Farhad, you mentioned that in 2008, there was a big downturn and you guys got through that. What did you learn in 2008 that might be applied to now as far as just getting through this with the virus, and you are going to have some cuts, it looks like?
So immediately after the 2008 recession, once we started realizing that those revenues weren't coming in, the board at the time put really, I think, a proactive approach in place to start utilizing state and federal funds to fill that gap. So at the time, we felt that definitely we're in a good shape, that we can fill the gap. But as you can imagine, even state and federal revenues were impacted back then, and they're also going to be impacted again this time around. So one of the things that we did, and we update our revenue forecast every 3 years, and the most recent the revenue forecast, we definitely planned for a worst-case scenario. So we actually have a very pessimistic scenario and an optimistic scenario, and we're able to operate as far as our budgeting within that range. So I'm glad we did that, because when we were somewhat prepared for some kind of a recession, but we didn't know it was going to happen. Or triggered by a health crisis, but we all anticipated there might be another recession coming. So we had planned for that and budgeted for it. So I think we're in a good shape, but long-term, as you can imagine, the recovery from the 2008 recession took roughly about 10 years. We're hoping that recovery from this recession may be 2 to 3 years, but obviously that's yet to be seen. So we're optimistic, and we're watching the numbers. And so if it's a short recovery period, we should be in a good shape. If it's not, if it's longer recovery, then obviously we have to put in other measures to make sure that the revenue is meeting their expenditures.
But then isn't another concern going to be that you're going to be going for a reauthorization here? I guess the money technically runs out in 2026, and you've already started efforts to educate people about what RTA has done and what your plans are for the future. But you could be dealing with a lot of voters who have been hit hard in the pocketbook. Have you guys considered what the plan might be to roll this out to people to get them on board with it?
So as you mentioned, the current plan and the revenue expires in July of 2026. So we have 6 years. We had not planned on any specific date for going back to the public. And this is exactly one of the reasons that, you know, you don't plan that far ahead of time. We started the process. We're looking at that effort to identify what the needs are, and then put a draft together with very extensive public input, and then determine when do we go. And you hit it right on. The timing is probably something that's going to be impacted by this crisis, and we have to obviously be very sensitive to that timing. But we do have time until 2026. That's why I said I hope that the recovery period is only 2 or 3 years. If it's longer, then said we have to consider all those factors into our decision-making process before we identify a date.
All right. Speaking of recovery, we're going to talk about one of our favorite restaurants right now. So Farhad, stick around. Dan Shear, stick around. And Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, waiting like all the other restaurants for the governor's go-ahead to kind of get restaurants back up and operating with limited seating capacity. That could come in a couple of weeks, but right now the bakery goods are waiting for you at Mona's Danish Bakery, the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. You can walk into the bakery right now, pick up your bakery goods. You can call ahead. That number is 579-1959. The number is also, of course, at monasdanishbakery.com. But they would be delighted for you to walk in right now, pick up some bread for dinner tonight if you're going to be doing spaghetti or something. How about a beautiful loaf of bread that came out of the oven just a short while ago? They open at 6:30 in the morning, close at 2 in the afternoon. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, waiting for you right now. Let's support all of our local restaurants. We'll be right back with our Friday Focus interview, talking about the Regional Transportation Authority right after this.
During the coronavirus crisis, Vero Amore restaurants in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana are still open for takeout and home delivery. You can still enjoy all your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza. They're all available for takeout and home delivery. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
It's easy being green. Promote wind, install solar, drive electric cars, ban mining. Wait a minute! You can't ban mining! Green is good, but hey, no can do without the metals green products need from mining. If you ban mining, you'll ban everything green. And today's minds are on board, researching technologies that provide critical materials for a greener world. Being Green, another miracle from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, the Friday Focus interview today. Farhad Moghimi is with us, the Executive Director of the Pima Association of Governments and the Regional Transportation Authority, known as the RTA. Dan Shear is with us, editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Farhad, the citizens group, and I know there's, what, is there about 40 members who have been meeting on a regular basis, several dozen members of the community. Have those meetings been put on hold because of COVID, or are they all meeting remotely? How is that going?
During the stay-at-home orders, we decided to put those on hold. Obviously, we'll start those back up again, hopefully in June time frame. That's 35 members, and as you can imagine, it's doable, but at the same time, we want to make sure that they hopefully have an opportunity to feel productive and everybody can provide input. So it's a little bit difficult to do it virtually with 35 people.
Yeah,
if we have to, we will definitely do that. But we want to give everybody some time to pause, and obviously, folks have other issues to address, and both family, personal issues, as well as their own jobs. So we want to give everybody that break.
So this is the reauthorization, talking about the reauthorization, how to handle it. Are there any issues that are themes that have emerged so far, Farhad, that you could share with us from this group?
So far they developed a list of what they called essentially their goals and objectives, and then we were able to put that out to the public for a survey and get feedback from the public. Over 3,000 people participated. And obviously this is an online version of a, non-scientific survey. So only, making sure that we understand and they understand that this is participants who actually choose to participate. So it's not a scientific survey. But the majority of the people that participated did agree with those goals and objectives. And so that's kind of the foundation of the conversation. The next step in the process is to get projects submitted by individual cities and towns and all the communities that are responsible for delivering those projects. Once we get those projects, then they can actually go back out to the public and then get feedback from the public, making sure that we include everybody in the process. So it'll be very extensive. And that's one of the reasons we started it as early as we did, because we wanted to take plenty of time. I would say even at the time we were planning on a 3-year process when we started this, to make sure that everybody's voice is heard, and the final decision is hopefully something that through collaboration the public would support.
Dan Shear, jump in.
Farhad, can you update us on two projects, Broadway Boulevard and then the Downtown Links project? What's going on with those?
Sure. So Broadway construction started roughly 3 months ago. You might have seen some utility relocation early on, but over the last 45 days, especially with the stay-at-home orders, with the traffic volumes being as low as they are, they've been able to actually be a lot more productive. So they're moving forward. If you get a chance to drive through, please do. They're obviously as essential service, construction workers are doing all they can to be safe, but at the same time, they're being very productive in getting that work underway. The other project that the Broadway on the east side, Camino Seco to Houghton Road, that one actually finalized construction and completion was roughly about a month and a half ago, right around the same time that we got the orders to stay home. We were actually planning on having a ribbon cutting and celebrating that project. So that project is completed. Hopefully the traveling public are able to drive through and see that product. That's a very nice project, and we're really grateful to the construction workers as well to continue to do what they do even during these times. The Downtown Links project, that is at this point, it's a construction manager at risk project. And by definition, the process for a construction manager at risk is that you bring a contractor on early on and you actually allow the contractor to help redesign and bring the project within budget. And that's what they're working on right now, to try to make sure that they make the adjustments needed to bring the project within budget. So we hope that project will move forward, hopefully within the next 12 months. And then there's the last leg of Houghton Road, which is I-10 north to where the Union Pacific tracks are. That last leg hopefully will be going to construction as well within the next 12 months. So we got a lot of projects in the pipeline, and everybody involved in those projects, they're still working. Nobody stopped working because of this. But obviously they're learning new ways of working through the process. As you can imagine, bidding projects and having contractors show up to a bidding meeting, those kind of things are getting a little bit more challenging, but we're learning to get through those things.
One of the things that emerged in the downturn in 2008, Farhad, was a reduction in price, the cost savings to the RTA from projects that with the recession were scaled down. I'm just wondering what the impact could be on your pricing some of these projects that remain for the RTA. Some of your thoughts, please.
Of course, yeah, that's definitely something that we are projecting, that we're going to be able to realize some savings because of the construction cost going down. And RTA at the time really was the only agency that was able to put any projects out and keep some of the contractors active. And at the time, they did really sharpen their pencil, and they were very competitive. And as a result, we saw significant savings because everybody was really looking for the next project. Unfortunately, I think the same thing will happen, mainly because at the state and federal level, they will most likely have to cut back on some of their projects. So yes, we'll see some savings, but at the same time, I'm hoping that at the federal level, and we're having these conversations on a regular basis, at the federal level, I'm hoping there's still going to be, whether it's through the next version of the CARES Act or even the federal transportation bill itself, which expires in September of 2020, either one of those hopefully will move forward and have even additional funding to make sure some of these projects can still move forward.
Dan, go ahead. Kind of a final question. I've got about 3 minutes left here.
Okay. Farhad, if the RTA is reauthorized past 2026, what types of projects would we see that we aren't seeing now? Will the mission change or shift a little bit? And would any money be included for maintenance and repair?
So all of that is still on the table for discussion, and that's why we really want to get perspective from the public. As you can imagine, especially, moving forward, some of those things that we had anticipated that we may have funding for, there may not be funding for. So therefore, we got to go back and make sure that anything that the region agrees to prioritize and they're willing to tax themselves to pay for it, obviously would be on the table, and hopefully the public will support. So I would say everything's still on the table. We have not made any decisions on what elements of the transportation infrastructure or the system is going to be prioritized until we hear from the public.
But getting back to three quarters of the way done with the RTA, you have been able to accomplish everything that has been on your agenda to date, correct?
Yes. Fortunately, because of some of the actions that the board took early on, they were able to complete all the projects to date. And we hope that we'll be able to continue to do that with the remaining 5 years. But again, as you can imagine, the second recession is something that is still unknown to a lot of folks. So within the next, I hope, 6 months or so, we'll have a much better picture of what the impact was, and then we'll be able to move forward.
How has this affected you working at home, I guess?
Working probably 16-hour days. So that's one impact. And then, you know, obviously, you know, working as a, you know, a regional organization, we were always ready and prepared to adapt and shift our focus and help our partners. So we've been involved with a lot of things that we normally don't get involved with, obviously trying to support most of our partners, both at the state level, at the federal level, as well as the local level. So we're always willing and able to support anybody when there's a need.
All right. For more information, folks can go to the RTA website. That would be a good place, right, Farhad?
Yes, sir. RTANext.com would be probably a good starting point. And from there, you can go to either one of our other sites.
Thank you very much. And stay safe out there, okay?
Thank you. You too.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
A lot. Farhad Moghimi with us, who heads up not only the Regional Transportation Authority, but the Pima Association of Governments. And one thing we didn't get a chance to get into, Dan Scheer, was the fact that our air quality sure has improved a lot, hasn't it, over the valley?
Absolutely. Not just here. I think around the world we're seeing these really interesting reports that suddenly you can see mountaintops or, you know, see through the water, and which used to be murky and everything. So really interesting.
All right, Dan, stick around. We've got lots sure. to talk with you about, including an action taken by the Green Valley Chamber of Commerce, really the only chamber in the state calling for a quicker reopening than Governor Ducey is proposing at this point. We'll talk about that and more with Dan Scheer as we continue on the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. It is coming up on 12:31. We'll be right back. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
And this is Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
Matt, did you hear that Travel and Leisure magazine just ranked the Douro Valley as a top 50 spot for world travel?
Yes, so how about Portugal and Spain for my next culinary and cocktail cruise?
Let's do it on the Douro River aboard the new Amadouro ship from Ama Waterways.
I'll need a chef's table dinner, winery tours, and other private excursions.
Matt, consider it done.
Thanks, Ryan. Portugal and Spain, here we come. Go to bvtravel.com to learn more.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
If it can't be grown, then it must be mined. Cause without minerals, you never find your phones, your cars, your solar panels, or your smart TVs with your favorite channels. Hospitals, schools, and public facilities result from mining's vast abilities. Dividends, taxes, and high-paid employment come from mining for your enjoyment. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
During the coronavirus crisis, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is open for one-on-one appointments only by calling 795-8226 to arrange a time with Moe or Corinne. No interruptions and no other customers. Moe will even arrange a drop-off at the store's front door and coordinate a virtual design session. Moe's Gallery, Fort Lowell and Dodge, 795-8226 and moesgallery.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Dan Scheer with us from the Dan editor of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, also very involved with the WIC newspaper chain, which is based down in Sierra Vista. They've got about two dozen papers. Dan's the editorial director. Dan, I woke up today and I just wasn't in the mood as I scanned all the all the national stories. Here's one for you. Headline, CNN experts warned to prepare for two more years of pandemic. Nope, I'm not going there. Not clicking on that. I've had it with the words in the headline. Warn, may, might, concern. On and on it goes. I guess there's an audience for this, that people just can't get enough of this. But, you know, you reach a point, Dan Scheer, where the COVID-19 media fatigue really is setting in.
And, Bill, you know, being in this business, that we can find someone to say pretty much anything we want, and
yep,
that would be a good example of it. I would say that that message apparently hasn't reached the town of Sahorita, which is about to announce, just got an early release on this, that they are reopening their town hall and all their parks a week from today. So this is a big deal, you know, the public restrooms, and of course they are going to be observing the CDC guidelines when it comes to social distancing and gloves and masks and all of that. But they're opening up, and their May 11th town council meeting will be back in the chambers. And so they are moving forward, and they are taking the lead from Governor Doug Ducey, who is had a press conference on Wednesday that talked about opening up some retail, and a week from today we'll see more of that opening up. So they're jumping on board there down in Sahorita.
There was a lot of disappointment in this state over the governor's news conference, in the fact that the governor was not articulate enough about saying, when are our restaurants going to open? When will we be able to go to get a haircut, go to a salon? None of this was mentioned. What about this? What about that? And it left so much. It was vague. I'm telling you.
It was vague, and he didn't do well. We had our second rally in since April 21st was the first one, but a street corner rally, roughly 25 to 30 people, Open Up America Now, and I was at the second one, which was yesterday, and they were very disappointed with what he came out to say. First of all, it took him over an hour to say it, and it almost seemed like he was reluctant to kind of roll out the plan, but he felt that what he needed to do, I believe, is he felt he needed to talk about, you know, hospital beds and then ICU beds and then ventilators, and then kind of set the scene for the decision that was made. But then when he came actually to say it, it was vague, and it was disappointing. And so, like you said, our chamber on Tuesday, which would be a day before the governor's press conference, voted as a board to push for the state legislature to, in essence, override the governor through a concurrent resolution and reopen the state. And I do not know of any other chamber in the state that has gone that route, but what they're saying is that we understand it early on. We are in a community where the average age is, you know, 72. We get it, but at this point it is hurting small businesses, and to the point where a lot of them are not going to be able to reopen if we continue this. So I think that they feel like, okay, we've done all we can. If you feel threatened, if you feel like you are vulnerable, stay home. Quarantine yourself, and let's let the businesses reopen. So That's where they are. There is a meeting at 1:30 today of all the chambers in the state. I think it's called the Arizona Chamber Executives, and I'm going to talk to our guy after that and just see if anybody else is going to be on board with Green Valley and Sahuarita when it comes to that.
Getting back to the pet peeve of the day for Bill Buckmaster, that word warn in the headline, and you can pretty much take, Dan Scheer, you can take any state. You can take Georgia, you can take Arizona, you can take Wyoming. Experts warn of opening too soon, second wave coming. There you go.
Well, and you know, every year we have a wave of flu. I'm not comparing them, and I'm certainly not minimizing the of what we've been through. I think we have, up to this point, taken absolutely the correct actions in kind of hunkering down. It was kind of a big national experiment. It was really kind of interesting to see, you know, who would be on board and who wouldn't. And for the most part, as the governor pointed out, you know, nearly 100% compliance in Arizona with people who, you know, had to shut down and stay home. And I would venture to say that it certainly did some good in regarding the death rate and the spread of this. But when do you come to the end of it? And let's just put it on the table, Bill. This has been politicized big time over the last few weeks, big time. So,
yeah, it has. I mean, it's being seen through the political lens. There's no two ways about it. Ingrid, quickly, your question, because I want to move on. I've got 10 minutes with Dan, and I've got about two other big topics. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Okay. About an hour and a half ago on a program that airs just before yours, doctors were invited to call in, and one of them complained that the doctors in general would be very happy to get reliable data so that they can treat their patients properly. As you say, this has become politicized, and it seems to be no end in sight. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ingrid. That's a good point. I mean, Dan, it's almost to the point, some of these stories with the modeling, every university seems to have a model and everyone has a different conclusion.
Well, and I really appreciate that some of our institutions have jumped in here with a lot of their brain matter and know-how and experience. But I will tell you this, the only thing we know about the numbers is that they're incorrect, because now people are going to see over the next few weeks that the number of cases is just going to skyrocket, well, because we have so many more tests out there. So it's going to happen. My question is, how much more is it spreading? And then you have to look at the deaths also. So it is definitely something to keep an eye on, and people are, but I think at this point people are saying, wait a minute, you're now cutting into bone when it comes to businesses, particularly small businesses. What can we do to get this economy rolling again? And then also we have to remember that not everybody's like a New York, and not everybody's going to turn into a New York. New York was a worst case scenario, and it's awful what has happened out there. They live a very different way, but it is the same virus, and we're still trying to figure out exactly how it spreads. So, you know, we've been careful, and I've been really grateful to see that. But I fully understand kind of the angst that has come along with some of the decisions that have been made.
Speaking of decisions, what are some of the hard decisions Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry is going to have to make?
Well, I tell you, there was a memo. There's a memo out yesterday, and he has pretty much told his people, "Look, we're going to have to hunker down here because there's not going to be as much money coming in." And it would appear from the memo that he went out to his departments and agencies and said, "Okay, give me a first pass on your budget." And according to his memo, it doesn't look like they really took it that seriously. In fact, he pretty much uses those words where he says, "Okay, now I'm going to help you through this process because this is serious." Now he is going back and saying very likely we're going to have some layoffs, which he had been kind of going back and forth on that and took some heat at one point for saying that they would have layoffs. But what he's saying right now is that you're really going to have to cut your budgets, and don't even think about going on what he calls a year-end spending spree. And anybody who has followed like federal government in September, they all are spending their money before the new budget year, because the thought is that if you don't spend that money, then you won't get as much the next year, because people will think, well, I guess you just don't need it. So they all go on these mega spending sprees. And he's saying, no, you're not going to do that. And he took measures that would prevent them from doing that. So he sees this as a very serious situation, and this is one of those cases where it's definitely going to reverberate for, you know, probably the next year at the very least.
What's going on with El Tour?
El Tour de Tucson is looking to reroute through Green Valley and Sahuarita for the 100-mile and roughly the 50-mile rides. They have announced this already. The town of Sahuarita has not completely signed off on it. Let's be honest here, Bill. When you have thousands of cyclists come through your community, it is disruptive. And I know a lot of people say that it's great for PR and you're going to, people will be talking about you and maybe even help a bump in some business. I don't know. But it also is extraordinarily disruptive for a town that has very few main arteries, quite honestly. And generally speaking, where they'd be going down, which is Sarita Road, is going to be blocked off or at least half of it. And I think the town has just been real cautious as to before jumping on board and saying, oh my gosh, we absolutely want to be part of this huge event, important event. And so they have not quite signed off yet. My suspicion is they will, and it'll end up coming right through here. So it's a new route, and we're going to be part of it.
You're involved as the editorial director over a couple dozen papers in the Western United States. What advice are you giving the editors now, as we are now 6 weeks? I always kind of use the benchmark day as St. Patrick's Day when everything went south. What advice now, 6 weeks into this, how are your editors covering this?
Well, the very first word of advice was to be careful how you report the numbers. Numbers must be reported in context. And if you say, oh my gosh, we have a case here in, South Dakota, then again, give people context behind the numbers. And South Dakota is one of the least hit states. They have pretty much not locked down. They are really out of step and have taken a lot of pressure. And the governor there, Kristi Noem, has really taken it on the chin, but she's kind of stood her ground. The last time I checked, about 80% of the cases were in one meatpacking plant in the southeastern portion of the state. But this thing can spread, and who knows what will happen with it. But they've been a little bit out of step there. But everyone is handling this according to the sensitivities of their community and the realities of the national, state, and local numbers. And so they've been doing a lot of the same stories we have with how people have reached out and helped each other and where you can get tests or if you can get tests, how the hospitals are doing, are they overrun, are they gearing up for this. So we've been doing a lot of the same stories on that in that line of thinking. So, but the advice is, hang in there. They're working long hours and they're very dedicated. And I will say that across our company, I saw the numbers about a week ago. On average, our page views and our subscriptions are definitely going up, but the page views online have more than doubled. So they're up about 160% on average per paper. So people want to know nationally what's going on, then they jump right down to local and they want to know what's going on in their backyard. I get emails every single day saying, how bad is it here? And so we've been tackling that.
Are you monitoring social media now too? You've got a project involved there.
Yes, we had a Google News initiative funding. It was a program where we were awarded some money last year from Google, and we had to build something. And so what we built was something called Neighbor, N-A-B-U-R. You can find it at gvnews.com. And we've launched it in two of our markets, here and up in Wenatchee, Washington. And it's a lot like Nextdoor.com, except we jump in as journalists. And when we do that, we're offering some perspective and some insight, and so we're answering questions. So when people leave there, they have their questions answered. Plus, it's a forum for them just to talk to each other about everything from birding to politics. Nothing is off limits. You just have to be decent to each other. So we're ending our second week of that. We have in Green Valley almost 550 people signed up for this. And so we have touched a nerve here. People want to talk about the issues in their community. And so they can even drill down to the neighborhood level on this, just like you would with Nextdoor.com. And so it's launched, and we're proud of it, and we're going to roll it out to all of our newspapers.
And again, you said something at the beginning of the interview about your parks in the area reopening.
Yeah, so when the town of Sahuarito reopens on May 8th, which is a week from today, they are also going to open up the parks, and they're going to open up, again, the restrooms, and, of course, that means dog parks and everything. And I think people are more than ready for this. Now we'll go to Rancho Sahuarito, which has a lot of its own parks, and my guess is that they will follow the steps of the town and reopen those also, although they haven't said, although the town has not even officially announced this. They just gave me a press release a little bit ahead of time, and it's on our website.
Well, a little bit of breaking news for us here. How have your restaurants done with carryout?
You know, I've checked in with a few of them, and they're all just kind of holding their breath, and can't wait for the day where they can invite some people back inside. But I think it's the ones that serve liquor that have been hit harder because they have missed, a lot of the NCAA tournaments and other things like that, and, you know, some sports season, and that's really been destructive. But I will say this, people have stepped out, and there's an awful lot of takeout going on down here. People have supported the local businesses, and there's one out here not far from the paper where there is always a line of at least 20 cars going through the drive-through. So people have stepped up, and they're helping out, and they understand the importance of keeping people employed.
All right, Dan Scheer, always a pleasure. Thanks, Dan. Stay safe, as they say.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Dan Scheer, the Green Valley News and Sahuarito Sun. Coming up next, Matt Russell of Inside Tucson Business. Speaking of restaurants, he'll have three good tips for us for the weekend watch right after this in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Stay with us, friends.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
During this coronavirus crisis, Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, is still open for takeout and home delivery only. You can get all of your favorite Noble Hops menu offerings. Come pick them up, or they'll bring them to you. So check out Noble Hops on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and online at noblehopspub.com. The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
All right, time to stir it up, baby. That's our Weekend Watch theme music. Weekend Watch presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Our friends over in Silver City are ready when you are, when you feel it is safe to travel and pile in the car and go for a little bit of a road trip, just a 3-hour drive from Tucson. Maybe you'd like to do some outdoor recreation in the Gila National Wilderness, and there won't be anyone around. There'll be plenty of room beyond, hey, talk about 6 feet. How about 600 feet maybe before you see anybody in the Gila National Wilderness? But anyway, Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, the starting place for your trip to Silver City and Grant County, southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find all your planning needs, like where to stay and all sorts of ideas about how to recreate there. Matt Russell, award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson Business, food and beverage columnist, with us now. He's the longtime host of the Buckmaster Radio, established in 2011. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. And, you know, I just love that Bob Marley soundtrack because just so you know, for the record, my shaking and stirring does not commence until I hear that music every Friday. So it is now officially the weekend.
It is. And, of course, it's time for you to get out the old Speedo and hit the pool this kind of weather, I'll tell you. Cocktail hour begins with Weekend Watch for Matt Russell.
It does indeed.
What's going on over at Guinea's? They're known for their wonderful French cuisine.
Yeah, they sure are. And with so many of our international travel plans on hold for the time being, I think it's good to know that we can still activate the global parts of our palates without leaving Tucson. And you mentioned Guinea's French Cafe. They're a great example. They've developed a full range of French family meals to go, like their 5 take-and-bake pastas that feed up to 6 people. Their French-inspired chicken, rosemary, and lemon pasta got my attention. They have several salads, like the apple Roquefort salad, that'll feed just as many. Throw in a quart of French onion soup, and you've transported your palate to Provence. You can call Guinea's to arrange your French family meal pickup this weekend.
What's going on over at Main Gate through these hard times?
Well, you know, with the recent success in the downtown area in selling local restaurant gift cards that come with a special bonus, the folks over at Main Gate Square on University Boulevard, they've jumped into the fun with their own version called Main Gate Strong. So what this is all about, when you buy a $25 voucher that can be redeemed at any Main Gate restaurant, the Marshall Foundation will throw in an additional $10 at no extra charge, which means that you get a $35 voucher for only $25. It is as simple as that. All you got to do, Bill, is go to maingatesquare.com. You select your gift voucher. You use the coupon code MAINGATESTRONG at the checkout, and you're off to the races.
Brother John, still doing the delicious barbecue?
They sure are. And today, May 1st, kicks off National Barbecue Month. What a lovely coincidence. Brother John's on Stone Avenue, they just launched a raffle that will be music to the ears of barbecue and bourbon fans everywhere. So if you order some barbecue to go from Brother John, and if you spend at least $50 on your order, you'll be entered into a raffle for a free bottle of Pappy Van Winkle 10-year bourbon. Bill, this particular bottle typically fetches more than $500 a bottle. All you have to do is mention the special code PAPPY when you order. There's no limit on how many entries you can earn, just one entry per order, and the winner is going to be announced on Facebook Live when they reopen their doors. I think it's a fun way to kick off National Barbecue Month and have a chance at winning a very rare bourbon.
Very, very rare indeed. And I know all of our local eateries are waiting mid-month for limited in-restaurant dining, and they're going to be ready. They've had to weather these very hard times with takeout, and I think what we've managed to do by giving them as much publicity is at least keep the doors open for when customers come back in to dine in-restaurant. Would you agree, Matt?
Absolutely. This is a critical time. The governor's announcement that it could be as early as May the 12th to have restaurants open their doors. These local restaurant owners have never been more ready to open their doors again. They've spent all of this time keeping us fed and libated while doing immensely deep cleaning at their restaurants. And I cannot wait to join my friends in the dining rooms at our local restaurants once again real soon.
Amen. Matt Russell, have a great weekend. Thanks, Matt.
Cheers, Bill. Thanks.
All right. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music was composed for the Buckmaster Show by my young German friend, Christophan. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt, making sure all of our shows, the podcast, in working order, ready to go. Everybody here at KVOI, including engineer producer John Couch, the entire team at Bustos Media Tucson, all of us wishing you a safe and a very pleasant weekend.